Good morning, everyone. How are we? I don't know what it's like down there, but it's great up here. It's just so good to worship God this morning. So good. If we could have the first picture up, please, Julian. It's coming. I know it's coming. There we are. Who feels a bit like that? We finished our Christmas shopping yesterday. Nearly missed the picnic because we forgot about it, but we got there. If it wasn't for the Richardsons bumping into us at Colonnades, we would have not made it there. So we're just pleased we got there. It was good fun in the end. And I ate things I shouldn't have eaten, but that's okay. I'll be good tomorrow. Is that all right? I want to read to you some scriptures that will come up on the screen. It's from Galatians chapter 6. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And as we've been hearing this morning, Christmas is not far away. In fact, I looked at Chris on Friday and I said, oh, it's only 2 weeks away. It's kind of crept up on me a bit, I think, even though we've been preparing for it. And a lot of people look forward to Christmas. I have very fond memories of Christmas growing up in England. Loved it. It was our first snow. It was just the best thing. It doesn't snow. People think it snows at Christmas in England all the time. It doesn't, all right? But I remember the first time I saw snow as a kid growing up. And I love Christmas. I always have loved Christmas. I've loved everything about it. And we have some traditions in our family that we carry on. But most people look forward to Christmas except Grinches, Scrooges, and Sarah Hawes. Where is she? She's up. Well, that was a waste of a good joke. She'll get her to listen to the podcast, will you? But then as it draws nearer, it can be a bit overwhelming. Who's starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed about Christmas? Yeah, haven't you done your shopping yet? Seriously, somebody who worries so much, you really should start early. But as it draws nearer, it can get a bit overwhelming. It can be a very tiring time, lots to do. I don't usually forget things, and I nearly forgot the picnic yesterday because there's so much going on in our lives. There's the planning, there's the preparation, there's the shopping, there's the food, there's the parties and the gatherings, there's the trying to coordinate your family thing. Who has trouble with that one? And there's the stress of what to get someone. I don't buy cards because I think that's $5 I could put towards their present. I'm not a cards person, but some people are, and that's cool. But the thing is that it's about, what am I going to get this person? You know, and I don't want to get them something they don't want, so how do I resolve that? And so it becomes a very overwhelming and tiring time, I think. And I think that's because we focus on the wrong things a bit. And our enthusiasm for Christmas starts to take a bit of a hit, you know, about a week in. And some Christmases to some families are terrible because of that, I think. They kind of build up this hope and anticipation that lets them down. And I think one of the worst enemies of enthusiasm is busyness. And it does get rather busy before Christmas. I mean, we're trying to, and we don't have a big production this year. As you know, most years we have big productions. We didn't do one this year because we weren't sure what was really going to be happening with COVID, etc. But there's a busyness in the lead up to Christmas for all of us. And human beings have this remarkable capacity for getting tired of things, even wonderful things. How, if you like, the excitement begins to wane, even in something wonderful. Almost every one of you can probably think of something that you were enthusiastic about at one time, but suddenly the joy has kind of faded a bit. I'm looking at you, Siobhan, smiling. Having children. Believe it or not, holiday makers lose enthusiasm for things like sunsets. Chris and I love cruising. We go on cruises when we can. And you meet some people who've been cruising for like 52 days already and they've got another year to go. And you can see they've started to become a bit jaded, you know. Even the sunsets don't do anything for you. We rush out and we look at the sunset off the back of the boat, and then they kind of go, another one tomorrow. Even multimillionaires get bored of things. Who's got kids that get tired of their toys? Christians sometimes lose enthusiasm for doing good. And that is the pressures that come upon us, and we allow them to drag us down. So at first, the excitement of teaching in kids' church or running the creche or being on the music team or serving or welcoming or running a group or attending prayer meetings, getting up in time for church, reading your Bible. Once upon a time, that was strong. You were excited about it. Telling people about your faith was once an exciting thing, and suddenly it's just become a bit tiresome. Caring enough to help, to give, to pray. I know the Smiths are really tired. I can just tell. I just tell you guys are so tired, and yet you're still running at a million miles an hour with all of the things that you do. I suggest you have a rest, okay? Let's get next Saturday out of the way and have a rest. Will you do that for me? Good. Because I see you guys really, I don't want you flagging. I really don't, because, you know, we love you and we need you. But all these things that we once started with this rush of enthusiasm has become, if you like, the thrill is gone, and we've become weary in doing good. At first you're excited, you're happy, you felt strong, you felt pumped, you felt purpose, but the joy has seeped away a little. It's become a chore and you're beginning to lose heart. Well, Galatians 6 reminds us to keep at it, to keep persevering. And when Paul wrote this, he must have realized that we all feel like that sometimes. Clearly he was addressing something he was seeing. But he obviously recognized in every human life there's a time where we get a bit tired of something that we were once excited about. It doesn't mean, of course, that you don't stop something and start something else. I'm not suggesting that you just keep doing something that you just lost all the joy for. But we need to realize we all have the potential to lose heart, to become weary in doing good. And it's easier to drop something than keep on doing it. And that's when we have to involve God in those decisions that we make, to find out what it is that he's desiring. He may be just saying, have a rest. Gather some, you know, take some air in, you know, just chill a little bit and then see whether it's still right for you. So what does doing good look like? What is it that we can become weary of? What is good doing good like? And what is it that we should not tire from? Well, I would suggest anything that fulfills the will of God would be right at the top of the list. Whatever it is that God has for you. And we're all, you know, gifted in different ways, but the one thing that we all do understand is that we need to fulfill the will of God for the life that we have. And this is quite a huge thing, fulfilling the will of God. We're gifted and we need to say, God, what is it you're actually asking me to do, even if I probably don't want to do it? And James talked last week about a couple of things about himself and Jody and others who've been asked by God to do things, and it's kind of been, is this right or is it wrong? And they've found great joy in what they're doing, but I'm sure they've got tired of it sometimes. I know that I get tired of things. I'll be honest with you, this morning I woke up and thought I could have done with another couple of hours in bed. You know, just felt. Oh. But I would suggest that doing good, the thing that we should not tire from, is probably wrapped up in Galatians chapter 5 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Because you can still be doing the right thing, but if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit doing the right thing, you're actually missing the very point. The things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control. Love everyone. Don't get tired of doing that. Have joy despite what's going on. Get peace even in the midst of turmoil. Have patience, especially at Christmas. The other day I found myself in traffic getting a little bit miffed. People are great, I know, and they don't know how to use roundabouts. But the traffic's starting to get nuts. And you watch these people rushing to get the closest park to fight with somebody to the entrance. I park miles away. Do you know why I park miles away? Number one, I need the exercise. Number two, I don't want to fight anyone for a park. And number three, I don't want anyone bumping the doors of my car. But you see people are going crazy and they've just run out of patience with each other. We were with our granddaughter Estelle the other day in the car, and I made a couple of comments, you know, not rudely, but I made a couple of comments about, oh, I wish people would know how to use roundabouts. And Chris turned to Estelle and said, this is why we don't leave the house. But those things like kindness to everyone, goodness, whether it's deserved or not, faithfulness to God and to each other, gentleness always, self-control always. Don't be weary of being these things. Don't be weary of doing these things. Don't get tired of manifesting peace and joy. Don't give up acts of love and of kindness to others. Be gentle, stay faithful, exhibit self-control, practice patience. And Paul addresses the same thing again in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Who sometimes doesn't feel like rejoicing? But it doesn't say when you feel like it. It just says do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's a really poignant scripture. We've used it a lot this year. And I believe that since I've stopped watching the news, I don't know what's going on in the world. Seriously, I don't. I'll know what affects me because it'll affect me. I don't know what's going on in the world. And I tell you what, my thinking is much better. I'm thinking about good things now because I'm the kind of guy that I go, I get a bit riled about bad people who behave badly. You know, it's like, you know, what gets into people to be so rude? And I get a bit stirred up about that and I've got to be careful. And so I've put this barrier that does, and then Chris will tell me if I need to know anything, like what the weather will be today, things that are important. And at the end of the day, I have no idea what's going on in the world, but I can pray for things that I know are going on through what I see in snippets. I don't watch the news, but I search my news. Let me tell you right now, our state needs prayer against this abortion bill that's been going through Parliament. And if you guys haven't written to your MP, please do it. If you haven't rung up your MP, please do it. If you haven't prayed, please do it. Whatever you think of abortion, I just think the whole thing is anathema to God. But so late that at the point of birth, you can terminate a life. Now, I don't know what your thinking is on abortion. My thinking, I believe, is biblical, and that's what I want to do. I don't want to have an opinion on anything. I want God's opinion on everything. But people, we need to be praying about these things. And so we've got to be careful that those things don't drag us down. We need to stand up. We also need to think on the beauty of God's world. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So if you have no peace, then maybe you have some questions to ask yourself that you may need to answer why you don't have that peace that transcends all understanding. Our problem is we have this propensity to think on the negatives sometimes. As I said before, there's different kinds of ministry, different kinds of service, but not becoming weary is common to them all. Whatever it is God is asking you to do, don't get tired of it. You know, we all do. I'm the pastor, teacher, leader of this church, and sometimes I just get tired. And I think to myself, I don't know if I can keep doing this. We've got to recognize that we've got to keep faithful, work out what it is to reinvigorate ourselves, rejoice in the Lord always, pray, give thanksgiving. But one thing we may overlook when we read that passage in Galatians 6 is the bit in the middle. It says at the start, test your actions, don't compare yourself to anyone. Then it says something in the middle, and then it says, don't become weary in doing well. And right in the middle, it says this from verse 7, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let me tell you something. If you're in need, that's your flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, who's going to look after your fleshly need? Your Father in heaven is. So start chasing the Spirit of God and let Him do the rest. But let that sink in. That's a pretty powerful thing to put in the middle of that section of Scripture. And this letter is written to help the people, the saints in Galatia, to come to complete salvation, to complete eternal life. Think about that. That's what he's saying. If you sow
to your flesh, you'll reap destruction. That's a scary thought. Now, we all understand that salvation is by faith, grace through faith. We understand that. It's not about what we do and what we don't do. But Paul is writing here saying, just be careful. You can be deceived. You can be mocking God without thinking about it. And because of texts like this, my role as pastor teacher is not merely to preach nice messages, but to ensure that you make it, that you do persevere, that you get to where God wants you to be, doing God what God wants you to do, to inspire and challenge you to persevere, to not give up, to not grow weary, and to keep doing good. Because it seems to me the consequences of not doing that are quite dire. So I don't see how I could be faithful to this text and not tell you why we are to persevere. And interestingly, Paul starts out by saying, each one should test their own actions. That's going to stop people in the church pointing at each other. I praise God, this is a great church. We just love each other so much. I know that we clash heads sometimes, but we know how to forgive. We know how to deal with issues. We keep short accounts. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we test our own actions and not worry about what everyone else is doing. Compare yourself with what Christ is asking you to do. Don't compare yourself with others. That's a waste of time. Each one should test their own actions. So I'm not here to test your actions. My role is to test my actions and be faithful to teaching God's word to you and inspiring you to grow. What you do with that is entirely up to you. I can tell you till the cows come home what the word of God says, but unless you apply it, it's not my responsibility. That's a good thing for me. I feel good about that. But then it says that I'm going to be judged more harshly if I don't teach the truth. It's very important that I teach the truth. Now, of course, I'm going to make decisions for the good of the church based on our shared experiences. And clearly there was a problem in Galatia and Paul is pointing it out. Perhaps they'd made a good start and weren't finishing well. The problem is no matter how well we think we've done in the past, how hard we've worked, how much we've served, how well we've done all of those things in the church and we hold it up as evidence to God of our faithfulness, Paul is saying that may not be enough because you can't rest on your laurels. You can't live on your past. You have to live in your present, aiming for God's future. Because he's saying here, it's not what you did, it's how you persevered. Did you grow weary? Did you get a bit tired of doing good? Did you begin to fade? Did you not persevere when you should have persevered? And there's a number of implications in Galatians 6. And I just want to dot point them on the screen if we could. Each one should test their own actions. Don't compare yourself to others. Each one should carry their own load. Those who receive instruction should share all good things with their instructor. I'll slip past that one. A man reaps what he sows. Sowing to please the flesh will reap destruction. Sowing to please the spirit will reap eternal life. Don't become weary in doing good. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do good to all people, especially the family of believers. And in the midst of all of this, Paul says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So let's look at those two phrases. God cannot be mocked. Now, in the Greek, it's mukterizo, and it means to treat with contempt. God, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be treated with contempt. You can treat him with contempt, but you're not going to get away with it. That's what it's saying. If you treat God's word lightly, there will be some consequences. And those consequences aren't to punish you. It's to bring you back. Is to get you back on the right track, to get back that energy that you lost for doing good, because it happens to all of us. I'm not immune, you're not immune. We get there. It's how we deal with it when we get there that's most important. And then it says, do not be deceived. This is planaho, which is, again, a Greek word that means to go astray, to be seduced, to wander through your own actions or behavior. And there's always a time lapse between sowing and reaping. That's why Paul is saying, don't be deceived. It might feel like it's going okay right now, but there's going to come a reaping. You know, we understand that there's a time lapse between sowing and reaping. And we planted the apple trees when we first got here, they're now 2 years old. They're just now starting to bring fruit after 2 years. I've got a dragon fruit. Anyone know what dragon fruit is? Yeah, I love dragon fruit, but they're $18 each here. In China, they're about a dollar for a kilo. And I love dragon fruit, and they're only supposed to grow in tropical climates, but we've planted one up here, and it's got about this high. But I reckon I'm going to wait another 15 years till I get any fruit on it. There is a time between sowing and between reaping. And so in the midst of that, we can be a bit deceived. We could cut that tree down and say, ah, it's not bearing fruit. So don't be deceived. You may be able to deceive yourself for a while, but there's a time of reckoning that comes. And Paul reminds us that even though salvation is by grace through faith and an action of just belief, there are attitudes and actions that can be destructive to ourselves. But they can also be destructive to others. They can destroy the people that we're trying very much to reach, because we haven't learned to keep doing good. We become tired. We decide, I don't want to do this anymore. There's a difference between not wanting to do something and God not wanting you to do something. That's what you've got to get right. And some of us are tired. It's nearly Christmas and we're tired. I know some of you parents now, you're thinking, oh, now I've got the kids home. School's over. And you're starting to feel even more tired. But in this season of Christmas, and let me remind you, it's no longer a day, it's a season. It becomes a season. I mean, how early do they start putting out the fruit mince pies? Just after Easter, I think. But in this season of Christmas, let's not grow weary in doing well. Next Saturday, we have an opportunity to bless our community like we did last year. And I know that James and Paul and him have been working very hard behind the scenes, organizing stuff, and others have too. And there's a lot of work that Luke, Chris, and I have to do this week to get some stuff happening. But let's not grow weary. Let's persevere. Let's just keep doing it. And whilst others are racing around with no real thought about the what, the why, and the who of Christmas, fighting for a park, nudging through crowds, trying to beat others to a bargain, getting upset because Chris has got a bung knee and she's walking too slow, focusing on a day rather than their lives and the lives of other people, getting upset with shop people who are, this is a horrible time to be in retail because people can be nice or nasty. People trying to outdo each other for Christmas. Let's not do that. Let's just take a moment. Like Maddie said this morning, just stop. Let's take a moment. Remind ourselves what, why, and who. Let's display the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we do that, good comes of that. Quite simply, it comes of that. Let's not become weary in doing good. I could ask the musicians to come. Because after all, this is the season of great joy. This is the season of peace. This is the season of glad tidings. Can we have the last picture, please? That doesn't help anybody. Let's remember, we have great news to share. And we can't share it with a face like that. We can only share it with a heart that loves the Lord. I heard somebody cough there, and I thought it was Chris wanting to say something. That's right there. Whenever I hear it, it's usually Chris saying, I want to say something. You should live in my shoes. Father, we thank you this morning that though Christmas for some can be so intense, Lord, we think of people who are homeless, people who are lonely. We think of the people who will be coming next Saturday to be blessed and to be helped in the best way that we possibly can. Lord, in this season, we ask, Lord, that we would be reminded of the great joy of Christmas, what it really is about, that Jesus came. And, Lord, you sent him. Father, you sent him that he might bring that peace that we all crave, that purpose that we all desire. Lord, help us to remain faithful to the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.